first, tell me about your thoughts, your feelings right now on this day that was scheduled to be your execution day.
I was very delighted and happy, and God answered my prayers. I had a lot of supporters, you know, and you know, as I can say, you know, God answered my prayers, you know. As you know, it's a temporary state now. The state's still fighting it. As we speak, they are fighting it right now. So, like I say, hopefully that things work out and I can continue to keep this state and prove my allegation within the judicial system.
You mentioned the fact that the stay is temporary. You talk about God answering your prayers, but will they be fully answered until we get through this day?
Well, it's answered every day. For it to be fully being answered would be for me to come up under these circumstances, which I've been currently living up under for 17 years. And then that's when I can fully say my prayers to God has been totally answered.
I would imagine that right now it'd be very difficult to live through this day with the uncertainty of whether you will go to the execution chamber or not.
It's very difficult, but I just remain strong and continue my prayers and continue, you know, believing in God, believing in my supporters, believing in the people that are speaking up for me, and you know, I feel good, you know. I feel kinda good about it, you know. So like I say, I'm gonna continue praying and hopefully everything stays intact.
So you believe that the stay is going to hold through the rest of this day?
You never can predict about the court system. Hopefully, it stays intact. Everyone knows, the final say-so, it came from the United States Supreme Court, so they didn't uplift the stay, so hopefully that the stay will stay intact, you know.
There have been allegations about tampering in your trial. What are your views on that?
From day one, you know, I have alleged prosecutor misconduct along with the judge, the legal tactics they took and they used to really bomb me over the trial to get me in this situation. I have never been indicted from the grand jury. The grand jury issued me no true bill. As you know, I'm an African American accused of killing 3 white peoples. And my case was presented in front of the grand jury somewhere in March 2nd. Of 1983, around about that time, and the grand jury had issued a no true bill due to the fact of no probable cause. And after that, the circuit attorney, Stephen Moore, he transferred the proceedings down from the grand jury and put it in front of associate circuit judge for a preliminary hearing. And me and my counselor, we talked about this, and this has never been done in the city of St. Louis. And he couldn't remember the time that they ever presented a capital murder for a preliminary hearing in front of associate circuit judge. So we decided to sign what they call a written waiver. It means that if the accused sign this written waiver. But the circuit judge must do, he must follow instructions, statutes, and Supreme Court rules. And once this waiver is signed, he's supposed to just accept the waiver and bow me over to trial. Because in the statute it reads, once the accused signs this waiver, there shall be no preliminary hearing held. And the proceedings should be transferred up to the circuit judge, and the prosecutor should go there and file formal charges to obtain jurisdiction over the accused. So it was the judge of Darwin and circuit attorney Ed Rogers. I guess they was they took it upon their own and did what they had to do without following the statutes. They forced me to have this preliminary hearing. They put on evidence against me. Me and my lawyer, we didn't participate in the hearing. I went in the back docket. My lawyer left the courtroom, but he was ordered to come back into the courtroom. But he remained mute throughout the whole proceeding. And the state went on with the proceedings, knowing they was wrong because they did not follow these statutes.
You know, there were, and you, as you mentioned that, there were accusations that you had inadequate counsel, and allegedly even one of the prosecutors talked about that. Did you have inadequate counsel?
My counsel, well, I had inadequate counsel after this hearing had happened. You know, after the illegal preliminary hearing took place, I got the court assigned me a counsel named Jack Walsh. And Mr. Walsh was at the time, he was in, he's working in private practice, and they got a job with the Special Public Defender's Office to help them out because they had a lot of caseloads over. And so he got hired by Ms. Jane Gowder to work in his office. And, you know, he had a whole lot of cases. He was the lead attorney in that office, and he was handling numerous cases. You know, he was just overloaded with cases. And they had one investigator in there. Now, at first, they didn't have any investigator in there to do the investigation work. So, you know, he was taking case after case after case after case, you know, and then he had my case.
And so he just had quite a load then.
Right, he had quite a load.
And let me ask you this. I don't know how much you have been aware of this, but there's been quite a bit of controversy raised about the death penalty. Do you think any of that controversy and the questioning of it has had an effect on your case?
Well, I can probably say it might have, you know, because society is really opening their eyes to a lot of different things now, you know, and they're paying more attention to certain cases and a lot of cases that deal with this death penalty. And like they're saying, some of these mistakes may not even be accountable for, you know, they just slip through the cracks, so it could be higher than that. So I think society is really coming to the fact to really pay a lot more attention to this ordeal, because it ain't leaving us, it's facing us every day. And like I say, the death penalty isn't really deterring no crime. It really don't make your community more safer, you know. I know you're going to have people that oppose the death penalty, and you're going to have supporters for the death penalty. So everyone has their own, you know, opinion on things. But, you know, I think we need to start looking at this a little more closer, you know, as a fool in society, and see how how the death penalty is really getting, being, how it's really being applied to certain peoples, of certain cases, and, you know, certain things. Hey, hold on for 1 second. Hold on, I got to visit over.
Can I ask you one last question?
Uh-huh.
One last question is, how are you occupying your time today?
Right now, I'm still in the holding cell. Like I say, I'm waiting on decision. The state is still fighting the case. They are trying to get the United States Supreme Court decision overturned. I don't know, would they be successful in that sense, or that's the highest court in the land. And normally what they say is, it normally stands, but like I say, they right now, they are fighting and trying to get the state uplifted and get the execution carried on and get it scheduled for the night. So,
are you worried?
Well, you know, I'm human, and you know, I got feelings, and you know, I got to think about it. If I'm not worried, I always it's a constant thought on my mind, you know. So I just try to remain strong. Hopefully, that things work out, and like I say, I'm gonna continue my prayers to God, and hopefully that the state stay intact.
Mr. Young, thank you very much.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Thank you, and I appreciate your interview, and may God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Goodbye.